had a motive. He had a reasoning for what he was doing. You see, the disciples did not realize it fully, but Jesus was preparing them for the time when he would leave this walk of life and send back the Comforter in his name to give them power. So this, if you might want to qualify it as a trial run, maybe. And I thought about, of all the things that Jesus could have given them, how many knows he's able to give everything? He's able to supply our needs. He makes a way, the Bible says, when there seemeth no way. When everything else fails, give Jesus a chance. Amen. He'll always come through for you. So as Jesus gathered these disciples, I'm sure that Jesus, being God in man, had some maybe emotional ties with these disciples. And even though he was sending them out with power, he probably had felt that love for them. And I hope that they will be faithful. I hope that they will remain true. And I hope that they'll be able to witness. So he begins to prepare them. And these are some of the things that Jesus did not give them. He did not present them with new clothes, according to the Word of God, or shoes. In fact, he told them not even to take an extra pair. He didn't provide them with money. They take no gold, no silver. Don't take it. Nor any mode of transportation. Wherever you go, you're probably going to have to walk. No credit cards to be able to stay at any of the so-called luxury inns that you're going to be ministering in. No credit cards. No expense accounts. You're on your own. Not going to pay for your meals. Well, I just don't think I'll go. Would not that be the response of some today? No credit card, no expense, no transportation. No references. And no pre-written sermons. Not going to give you any of that. But such as I have, I am going to give to you. I am going to anoint you. And I am going to give you something greater than any of those other things. Something that will provide transportation. Something that will provide your need. Something that will lift your head up when discouragement is all around you. Something that will make you stand up in the face of adversity and still proclaim that Jesus Christ is able to do all things. Something that will cause you to look in the face of Satan himself and say, I ain't got time for you, devil. I rebuke you and the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I am going to give you something that will sustain you, that will keep you, that will prepare you, that will make you victorious over every encounter that you may come up against. In this ministry, you know, their ears not perked up then. What do you think it's going to be, John? Simon, Peter, what do you think it's going to be? What's he going to do? What's he going to give us? He said, I'm going to give you power. Power that only I can give. I am going to equip you with Holy Ghost power. Hallelujah. With devil-shaking power. With power that will raise the dead. Power that will open the blinded eyes. Power that will set the captive free. I am going to anoint you with this power. But here's the reservation. I do not want you to go at this time to the Gentiles. Thank God our time came. But it wasn't first and foremost. Nor to the house of the Samaritans. But I want you to go to one of the most difficult congregations that you're ever going to face. You know, if you've ever evangelized, you want a church that is full of believers. Amen. You want them not stand there or sit there with their hands crossed and say, what are you going to do for us, preacher? But you want to go to those congregations and say, preach it, brother. Get in the Word. Stay in the Word. Tell it. Oh, bring it on into the house. And amen. You start saying amen to a preacher like that, he's liable to keep you for 2 hours. But I want you to go to the most difficult congregation that you're ever going to face. I want you to go to the house of Israel, to the pompous Jewish aristocrats, the Pharisees, and the Sadducees, and the scribes. They are sad, you see, because they're rooted in tradition. Oh, they believe the Mosaic Law. None of them could keep it, but they believe it. They did not see Jesus as the Son of God. They did not classify him as the Messiah. In fact, they were very, very quick to come against anyone who was preaching Jesus or following Jesus. And I can almost hear John said, Peter, who did he say we need to go to? Our people, the Jews. Well, they'll ridicule us. They'll have us arrested. They may even stone us. We could never, ever convert that group of people. It's almost like the daddy, he said, you know, I'm going to teach you to drive. Oh, Daddy, can I drive your new car? No, you're going to drive my old truck. Straight shift. Clutch it slippers every once in a while. Oh, not an automatic choke, but one of them hand chokes. Can I get an amen? I'm glad we don't have to use those in the church today. We got automatic chokes. We just fired up and we're ready to go, right? I don't maybe need to bring the chokes back. No, I'm going to send you to the house of Israel, and I want you to preach the kingdom of God is at hand. I want them to see the power of God manifested. Hallelujah. You're going to have occasion, amen, that when you begin to minister, people are going to come out to see what it's all about. There'll be some lame people coming. There'll be some blind folks coming. There'll be some lepers coming. And when you give them that opportunity to come, you anoint them in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and they shall recover. They shall be raised. They shall come forth seeing. And when they say, who is responsible for this? You preach them Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. The Messiah. Maybe Matthew couldn't figure it out. Now see, we're going without purse. We're going without script. Script meaning the little, well, it wasn't called that then. Today it'd be called a man's purse. It was a shepherd's bag in that time. Same thing, it's just all the names we put on. Don't take that. Don't take a staff. Don't take an extra pair of shoes. Don't take a coat. Don't take any food. And Matthew's figuring that up, and he looks around at the other disciples and said, how in the world are we going to survive? We won't even make it through the first night. No food, no money. But then Jesus said, I will give you power. Exactly what is he talking about? Could it be the power that when a little boy had 2 fishes and 5 loaves and we gave it to Jesus, and Jesus took it and he broke it and he fed 5,000? Could that be the power? What kind of power is he talking about? Could he be talking about the power? He meant that when he walked out on the sea and the sea was violent and the waves were blowing and the wind was coming down and he simply spoke, peace, be still. Is that the power? Let me tell you something, folks. The power that Jesus Christ gave to the disciples, he has instilled into the church of today. And I want to ask you today, what are we doing with the power that Jesus has equipped us with? He has fortified us. He has given us of that power. Oh, not that we should glorify the church. That's never been the situation. Not that we should think ourselves better than anybody else. In fact, we're probably in the classification of servants of the Most High. But we've got something. I said the disciples had something. Hallelujah. That when they began to use the power that the Lord Jesus Christ had instilled into them, it changed lives. Church, are we seeing lives changed because of the power that God has instilled into us as the church? I'm not talking the building. I'm talking about those of us who are born again, filled with the power of the Holy Ghost. The Bible said you shall receive power. Not maybe, not might. You shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you. All this power, what are we doing with it? Thank God the disciples used it. Probably couldn't wait. You know what? They probably, instead of waiting for the first blind person to show up, they probably went out hunting one. Not like the church of today. Well, if the lost to come in, we'll preach to them. If they come in, but they don't want to come in. You know why they don't want to come in? They got the power. You know why they're involved in the world? They got the power. You know why they can't break that substance abuse? They got the power. Well, then, what are we to do? We're supposed to preach the power. Hallelujah. Go unto every part. Go into every nook and cranny of the city. Go into every place where you work. Share the power that God has mercifully and gracefully instilled into you and instilled into us. And use that power to see a transformation, to see a born-again experience in somebody who hasn't got the power. Because I want to tell you something, folks. This power is not just a certain people. For you, your children, and your children's children, even as many as are far off. I got news for you. You're not going to use up the power. Isn't that frustrating? Very frustrating, isn't it? You're there and you're going. I forgot to charge it up. Useless. It's dead. That game with all of its fun. I've seen Trey. It died. It just died. Not this power. I said, not this power. Hallelujah. This power was given to take the test, to go through the test of time. To stand when everything else is falling apart. Let me tell you something, folks. As a true child of God, we are observant of what's going on, but we're not worried about it. Come on. It's not going to cause me to lose sleep because I know, I've got confidence without a shadow of a doubt. That is within me is greater than anything that is in the world. Because of His mercy, because of His grace, because of His love, He has instilled that power. What a wonderful gift. What a wonderful gift. The perfect gift. Perfect gift. You know why I didn't give money? Money plays out. You know why I didn't give them food? The food would have been used up. You know why I didn't fill up the meal barrel of the widow woman? Because it would have eventually emptied. But He kept blessing. You know what the meal bearer says? I ain't worried about tomorrow. Not worried about my next meal. As long as I've got just enough. Amen. As long as I reach in that meal barrel and I got enough to sustain me today. Hallelujah. Not worried about tomorrow, not worried about next week, not worried about next year. Because of that power that the Lord Jesus Christ has given us. Oh, the perfect gift. The perfect gift. All these other things would not have lasted. No matter how much they preserved them and tried to stretch them out. But that gift will give you power. Of power. Church, can we demonstrate the power that God has given us? Are we demonstrating the power that God has instilled within us? Power? Puff your chest out. Power to say, look at me? No, absolutely. Power to witness. Man. If you've been given this perfect gift, it is not to merely keep concealed in your body. It is given to you as a measure for you to go out and witness and testify to a lost and dark world. Through your words, through your life, through your testimony. God has given us this power. Are we witnessing? Are we testifying? Are we living a life that exemplifies Christ in us? That's what this power was given to us for. A power to overcome. I truly believe that that is within me is able to overcome anything that Satan throws in my way. Stumbling blocks, trials, tribulation, persecution, sickness, affliction, whatever the case may be, he has given me power to be an overcomer. I refuse to be a victim because of that which is within me. Not because of this outward flesh. This outward flesh should truly be a victim. But God loved us enough to instill his power within us to make us overcomers. Amen. By our testimony. Overcomers by our ability to exercise the faith that he has given us. He has given us healing power in the name of Jesus. Thank God. I said, thank God. Hallelujah. Not only healing power to pray for others in the name of Jesus, amen, but healing power to speak to this body. Let me tell you, if you haven't tried it, try it. I speak to this body, and I tell that body, you're nothing more than a house of clay. You're returning from the dust of the earth. How dare you try to stop the Spirit of God that is within me? I rebuke you in the name of Jesus. Glory to God. I want to remind you that I have a glorified body awaiting for me in heaven. One that's never going to hurt. One that's never going to have any problems. No sickness. And praise God, no more death. Hallelujah. Do not be bound by your flesh. Let your spirit overcome your flesh. Thank God for healing. If you thank God for healing in your life, give the Lord praise this morning. Hallelujah. This next one, it amazes me that there is this abundant source of never-ending power within a Christian, within a born-again believer. But yet, we become very hesitant to use it in certain situations. Now, whether we say this or not, I would dare say that many of us have thought this. Well, I just don't want to get Satan upset. Yeah, I could stand up and testify about God's healing power, but I'm still not feeling 100%. And I know if I get up and testify, devil's going to make me feel worse. Let me tell you something. Satan is afraid of the power that is within you. I said he's fearful of the very power that God has instilled within the church, within you, within the disciples. We need to step forward and boldly proclaim the power that is within us. Satan, I don't care what you come at me again. I don't care what you do. Greater is the power of the Lord that he has given me. Power over Satan. Don't be afraid. Don't be timid to put him in his place. And you're not doing it in yourself. You're doing it in the power of God. See, that's the great thing. If I didn't have the power, I wouldn't speak to Satan like that. But he knows what's in you. What's in you. And until you let that that's in you come out, it's going to. And when you don't resist, he's going to push you some more. Then he's going to just, you know what, just make you feel awful. Until you exhibit. And he knows it's there. He just doesn't want to wake it up. Satan's got no problem with you having power. Satan's got no problem with you coming to church. Satan's got no problem with you singing in the choir. Satan's got no problem with you just going out, going fine and praising God. But when you exhibit the power that is within you, when you call those things that aren't as though they are, it begins to make every devil in hell begin to tremble because they're afraid of the power of God that he has instilled within us. Powerful gift. Powerful gift. Power to withstand fiery trials. Y'all remember reading that story? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Help me. Somebody raise your hand. I'm going to help you, Pastor. Do you recall where God provided fire protective suits for Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? Sunburn lotion? Any kind of retardant? And even allowed, I believe, allowed for them to be bound. But he gave them something more than fire retardant suits. Of this. He gave us a fire retardant spirit. Flesh may suffer a bit, but that that is within me, glory to God, it's alive and well. And he brought them forth out of the fire. Okay, you help me with this too. God was frustrated. Repented him that he even made man. He was going to destroy the world. He found Noah. Noah found grace in the eyes of God. And he had some relatives that was there. He's had his sons and his daughters and daughter-in-laws and his wife. And God, was it that God came down and gave them all a lesson in carpentry? Was that right? And provided hammers and skill saws. And I don't use one, but squares and measuring things. Takes too long. No! I don't read that. I don't read where Noah was a carpenter. But God gave him power. Woo, glory to God. Brother Keith, I don't read where he had an air hammer. But this is Brother Eddie, okay? This is Brother Eddie's opinion. You know, I have a vivid imagination. It's wild sometimes. Sometimes I get in trouble for it. But I'm almost seeing Noah there, and he picks up that hammer, and he goes, where'd that come from? Hallelujah. Almost like when you're praying for someone in the altar and you don't claim to be a healer, you don't claim to be a priest or a bishop or even a pastor, but the Lord says, lay your hands upon them. And you lay your hands upon them expecting something to happen, and Almighty God transforms that power through you and through your hand, and God begins to heal them and anoint them. What a powerful gift God has given us. Hallelujah. We could go on and on and on. Moses did not have the leadership ability. In fact, he was a fugitive. Could not return. He'd actually committed murder. God gave him power. And finally, church, power to stand. Power to stand. Everything else is falling. People you put the utmost confidence in falls by the wayside. God has given us power to stand. And what we're supposed to stand on is His Word. His holy Word. Amen. It's the Word will never fail. It'll always. It was there in the beginning. It was with God and it was God. That same Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. We beheld Him as glory, the Son of God. Stand on the truth. Stand on the Word of God. Luke 10, chapter 1. After these things, the Lord appointed other 70 also. Just wanted to read that because there was some saying, well, I ain't no disciple. I ain't neither. But I could be one of them other 70. And so could you. After these things, the Lord appointed other 70 also and sent them two and two before the face into every city and place whither He Himself would come. They went out. Verse number 17. And the 70 returned again with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject to us through Thy name. And Jesus praises them and said, oh my goodness, what a great evangelist you are. What a fiery preacher you are. What a great example. No, no, no. He said, don't you get caught up in yourself. Don't you think you're anything without that powerful gift. And He said unto them, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. Behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing by any means shall hurt you. Notwithstanding. Notwithstanding. In this rejoice not. Come on. That the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice, because your names are written in heaven. Thank God for the power. Thank God that He has more than equipped us for any battle that we'll ever face. If you believe that, put your hands together for Jesus. Now, if you're already exhibiting that power, thank God for that. Keep doing it. If you're sitting on a power reserve in your spirit, and you haven't exercised it, you haven't really carried it forth, then I urge you to begin today exercising, using, and demonstrating the power that God has gifted us with. It's a gift. It's a gift. We didn't earn it. We can't earn it. Amen. But by His mercy and His grace, He has instilled that into us. This is the power. Power to become the children of God. Power that rescues us from sin and ensures a home in heaven. There's a song that says, we've got the power in the name of Jesus. That's where that power comes from. And that's the reason it is a power source that will never run out. Hallelujah. It's there to help you day by day. Certainly, power to save you, but also power, amen, to reserve a place in heaven for you. And you know what? By the looks of things, it's not going to be long. So I wouldn't wait any longer if I wasn't ready, if I had not received that power, if I had not received forgiveness of my sinful life, regardless of how good you are. You still need to be born again. And let that power just fill your mighty soul. Hallelujah. Would you stand? Music, if you would return. Maybe a verse of that, we've got the power in the name of Jesus. You really want to make hell upset? Begin to say that. We got the power in the name of Jesus. We ain't got the power in First Pentecostal Church. We ain't got the power, amen, in what we've done. But it's all about Jesus. We've got the power in the name of Jesus. Amen. Sing when you get ready. Every head bowed, every eye closed. If you need a refreshing, if you need a rededication, or if you just need a brand new start in your life, there's no better time than right now. The Bible says today is the day of salvation. The altar is open. We'll pray with you and we'll pray for you. Hallelujah. We've got the power in the name of Jesus.
We've got the power.
If you believe that, raise your hands.
In the name of Jesus.
Say, thank you, Lord, for this power. Thank you that you love me enough. Thank you that you forgave me. Thank you that you saved my soul. Oh, yes. Some of you saints, if you will gather, let's pray. This is an open opportunity for you to come. To kneel down. Say, Lord, thank you. Help me to demonstrate that power. Help me to use it.
In the name of the Lord. We've got the power. In the name of Jesus. We've got the power. In the name of the Lord. Those Satan rages, we cannot be defeated. We've got the power. In the name of the Lord, give me your hand. Let's agree together that all of our enemies will crumble at our feet. For whatever we bind on earth will be bound in heaven. At the name of Jesus, Satan has to flee. We've got the power in the name of Jesus. We've got the power in the name of the Lord. Though Satan rages, we cannot be defeated. We've got the power in the name of the Lord. For many years now, Satan's tried to stop us, but the Church of Jesus is still alive. Like a mighty army, we keep marching onward.
Praise the Church.
Battle,
oh, yes.
With the Lord by our side, we've got the power in the name of Jesus. We've got the power in the name of the Lord. Those Satan rages, we cannot be defeated. We've got name of the Lord. We've got the power in the name of Jesus. We've got the power in the name of the Lord. Those Satan rages, we cannot be defeated. We've got the power in the name of the Lord.
It's our God's desire that no one should perish, but everybody would love His love, would learn of His love, and just turn their life over to Him. And in the power that God's given us and the strength to do things that even I think we should all reflect periodically and just say, wow, that had to be God. There's no way but the power of God. Love each and every one of you. You know this altar's still open. We're here to pray with you if you need it. We just want to make sure. I'm sorry, Miss Connie, go right ahead.